So we're there, we're literally talking like in each other's like face, like having good conversation. And then we get to the point where it's like, okay, are you top or bottom? Both tops. I used to get like turned off when people would ask me like straight up, like, are you a top or a bottom? I'm like, is that all that matters? But now I'm like, I mean, we should probably like get that question out of the way.
It could save us some time.
Yeah.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Man Whore Podcast.
Shout out to all the fan whores, to the pod sluts. What's up, all you whoreheads and Billy babes? Shout out to the Man Whore Conventionists. This is Billy Procida, and you are listening to the Man Whore Podcast. Ran out of steam at the end of that one there. Got to take a little extra breath. What's up? Welcome to the show. Bringing you sex-positive conversations every Wednesday from a source least likely. A fella person with my face who watches football. Hey, hey, hey. This week I have got on the brainchild behind Menagerie Intimates, Roman Sipe. We're talking men's lingerie, as well as Roman's dating difficulties as a yet-to-be-confirmed non-bottom. We're going to be getting to Roman very shortly, but first, March 18th is the next Naked Comedy Show hosted at the Hacienda Villa in Bushwick. If you had trouble getting tickets in the past because they were already sold out, we've solved the problem. We're just going to do two shows. I've got great lineups for an 8 and 10 o'clock show. I will be on both of them, and I hope to see you out there. And for the first time, we're going to let the audience be clothing optional. So if you've been frustrated about those pants you're wearing in the audience, no need. I'll have a link to the tickets at the top of the show notes. And stay tuned to the outro, stay tuned to after my conversation with Roman. I'll be announcing another very special set of dates. Because I'm very annoying and manipulative. Another date you're going to want to put down is March 16th. That's the next... Oh, motherfucker! Shit! Hot. That's hot movie night. It's a night where me and my Patreon members gather around in the champagne room and we watch a vintage porno together, complete with color commentary and surprisingly good soundtracks. That'll be on March 16th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you head on over to Patreon right now, I've got a poll up where you can vote on what we're going to watch next. One person I hope joins us there is the recipient of this week's Fan Whore Appreciation Moment, Jim G. Jim G, very new, very active member in the Champagne Room. Buddy, we're happy to have you, but hang in there. You and Mary Beth, I don't know what you two are getting up to in there, but hey, you know. You do use booze. Thank you for supporting the podcast, buddy. Thank you for supporting the show. And you too can become a member of my Patreon community. You can support me and the work that I'm doing. You can join us for hot movie night for as little as $2 a month. Thank you and bonus shout out, by the way, to Jess, a $2 member who just upped her membership to an annual. She has paid up for the entire year. She's like, Billy, I'm on board. Take my money now, please. You can become a member today, support the pod you love at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast or download the Patreon app. Find me over there. My guest this week is Roman Sipe. He is the brainchild behind Menagerie, which is a men's intimates line. It is not women's clothes for cross-dressing men. It is lingerie that is made and designed for men. I have been promoting Menagerie for years, completely unpaid, by the way. Sincerely, just a brand I really rock. I like it. I dig it. I feel sexy in it. I recently did a panel with Roman at Curve Expo here in New York City, talking about men's lingerie with a very impressive panel, and then me. I'll put a link to that in the show notes again. And this is actually the first, well, I mean, outside of the panel, this is my first time really sitting down and ever talking with Roman, even though we have, you know, chatted with each other online for years. So it was great to get to know him. It's a little echoey in the space that he insisted we record in. It was a last minute adjustment. And by the time I got there, wasn't much to do. So slight apologies in advance for any audio quality issues that most of you probably aren't even going to notice. But I hope that won't distract you from my lovely conversation about love and sex and lace. Let's go chat with Roman Sipe.
This is the least dressed up I've seen you in person or on the internet.
I literally threw this hoodie on. I was like, let me put some clothes on real quick.
Yes, clothes on. The norm on this podcast. Rare occasions we do naked episodes, but...
I literally bouncing around here naked all morning. So I'm like, let me just put on something. Something.
For sure. How's my outfit today as opposed to last time?
I mean, I love it. You always have your own style. It's cool. I love the Brooklyn.
Is that what you say to people who don't dress well? It's like you have your own style.
It's cool. Yeah. I mean, the best thing about it is like, as long as you have a style, like there's some people that I can look at them and I can be like, they just didn't care about anything.
Yeah.
At all. Like you have your boots, you have your Brooklyn tee, you have your cardigan, like, nice denim. It's cool.
Excuse me. I have my sister's cardigan. Thank you very much.
Cardigan. Okay. even better. Even better. It means something.
I was really trying to go for like dumpy dude at the expo. I was like, how can I showcase safe to talk to, but dumpy?
Yeah. I mean, I think you pulled it off. I think you pulled it off.
That was a fun panel.
I've never
felt more out of place.
Really?
I'm sorry. I'm up there with like a lingerie designer. Billy Porter's fucking stylist,
yeah.
A mental health professional, someone who like runs a lingerie shop, and then like me, a boy comedian with a podcast.
I mean, I think it was perfect. I feel like we needed you there. I think the panel was like a well-rounded panel, and you made it that way by being there. So
I'm glad that the straight male a voice could be heard, had an opportunity in this world.
Exactly. Me too. I mean, because people like. Another reason why I was glad you were there was because like I can talk about it all day, but then they're just like, yeah, but you're a fashion boy and you're queer and like of course you get it, but like we're talking about different men. It blows my mind how a lot of people like forget that I'm a man.
Yeah.
So like I'm like, or like there's men like me out there. So it's like, okay, they're like, well, I don't know any men that would wear this. I'm like, I'm a man also, but like maybe they just need to see like me beside you and you beside me. To, you know,
be like, see, we both get it. Like, he looks fabulous, and I look closer to one of your husbands, I'm sure. And we'll both wear lace,
right?
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Good time to say I'm here right now with designer Roman Sipe, the brainchild behind Menagerie, one of the brands I think I've talked about for the longest on this show. Mm-hmm. I reached out to you fucking forever ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was 2008. If not before that.
It was before that because I was still at my day job. So I had to have been pre-2020 election. Pre-2016 election.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Whenever you were first getting press about it.
Like, I mean, I started in 2015. So yeah, that was, yeah. Yeah.
It would have been right whenever you got that first press release out. That's probably when. I was still small enough I couldn't ask for money. I could only ask for free stuff.
I was still small enough just to, you know, give free stuff and not pay for, you know, advertising and stuff like that. So we met at the perfect time, I believe, for both.
And we've been rising up over the years. Yeah. I've been loving to see every time you pop up in something, I'm like, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a roller coaster, and like I'm just now noticing, like, it's been 8 years because I'm, like, counting up to 10.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, it takes 10 years for a brand to really be established, to really get out there and, like, all that. Someone told me that, like, a long time ago.
Why did you start Menagerie?
So, I was a stylist before. So, okay. I worked as a stylist probably for, like, over a decade. And I was on a styling competition show. I won a good amount of money. And
like on TV?
It was on YouTube. So okay. It was like called Style Star. And it was on this platform called the YT. YT something. I don't know. But it was also with Maker Studios. And it was on like a fashion network in like New York. But yeah, it was a styling competition show where we like had these like miscellaneous tasks every day. And like I had to literally just like beat these people out of styling competitions for like a week straight, and then I won, And I took that money and I was like, we should probably like invest this into something. I paid off like some of my school debt and I was just like, what can we do? What can we design? Mm. I never really wanted to be a designer because I have, as a stylist, like I've known so many designers, like great ones, horrible ones, successful ones, struggling ones. And it just was not the life that I was like trying to have. But for some reason, like I was like, no, you should probably just like start a business. And like, and see how it goes. And when looking into designing, I was like, what am I going to design? And I instantly like came to my underwear drawer. I don't know why. It wasn't a long time of me just like trying to figure it out. It was almost like instant. Mm-hmm. And I had this like Calvin Klein underwear that was like, first off, it had like a $149 price tag on it for Calvin Klein. I got it from this
one
party.
Piece of underwear.
One piece of underwear.
See, most of the men listening are like, I can buy a pack. So of like 12 for.
I think it was some sort of like, it was a gift that I got at the Chateau Marmont, which is one of my favorite places in LA, just like a luxurious, glamorous moment every single time you're there.
I don't shop at any place I can't spell.
Well, it's a hotel and it's iconic. You should look into it because there's a lot of shit that happens there. But yeah, I was at this event at the Chateau and I got this underwear, but I was saving it. Like I saved it for years, like maybe like 3 years since I got it, still in the package. First of all, I never had underwear that cost that much.
Okay.
And it was like just sort of like this elegant, like luxurious, like Calvin Klein.
It's not underwear. A couch. You are supposed to take the stuff off eventually.
Right. But I was like, I was literally saving it for a special night. Like I was saving it for like a moment. And now I don't save anything. Now I'll get it, I'll wear it, I go, and it is what it is. But like I was saving this underwear and it just really got me thinking like, why was I saving it? For one, it was the price. For two, it was like the most luxurious pair of underwear that I've ever seen or had in my, like my, I barely wore underwear at that time.
Right.
So like I had like trash underwear and then I had this like packaged cute underwear in the corner of my drawer. So I started to just like think about that underwear, think about what it meant to me and like why I was saving it. And I started to Google men's lingerie. And mind you, this is over 8 years ago. What I could Google was trash. Like nothing that I would ever even think about putting on my body. Except for one pair of underwear I found that was from like Versace. I believe it was like the 2011 collection or something like that. But it was like it was a lace underwear very similar to my hip brief.
Okay.
Where it just had two sort of like lace panels in the front. So I was like, that's something I would wear. It was very sort of like conservative, but still sexy.
Lace panel, just for us who are either dumb or because this is an audio medium, do you mean like there's like solid black that is covering like, say, groin and waist,
yes.
But like the thigh area, that's a panel?
Exactly.
Okay, so like the thighs have lace, the rest is kind of covered
exactly.
With a
exactly.
Okay.
And for this specific underwear, it was like a short brief. So it had like this center part is called like the gusset was covered in black, but okay. Then it had like two little like rectangle panels.
Okay.
On the hip. So yeah, I was like, I would wear those. I Googled, tried to find them. They never went into production. They were just on the runway. They produced a mesh pair.
Is that normal?
All
that runway business, they don't even sell most of it?
Yeah, because like the runway is the show. And then like when they produce things, they produce to sell. So it's like nobody was wearing, men weren't wearing lace 10 years ago, eight sure. years ago. I mean, this is over, this is 2011. That's like over 12 years ago, I guess. So yeah, it's normal to like do things for the show and then like scale them back a bit to sell to like everyone else. So I was like, I'm gonna make those underwear and then I'm going to just do a classic boxer brief and a cycle short. Fits that every man are used to and like things that I would wear.
Yeah.
And that's how we started. A simple 3-pack for like literally the first 5 years, I believe.
But wait. But whatever happened with the special undies?
I have no clue.
What was the special night that you busted them out for?
I didn't. I don't even know where they are. I never wore them. I used them.
All that buildup.
I used them in developing my line. Like I just had them there in the room most of the time as I was like in my design studio or probably in my design studio in LA somewhere. But like I never wore them. I went straight to Menagerie. I was like, this is...
That's enraging.
Yeah. Yeah. And people always ask me, like, I wonder, like, which pair of underwear it was. And I was like, the most expensive underwear I could find from Calvin Klein was like $98. And it was like a silk blend. And it wasn't them. Mm-hmm. It was something... It was different. It was the boxer brief. But it was like, it wasn't the one that I could find anywhere. So I think it might have been like made for that evening, for that night. But yeah, that's how it all started. And when I say like I didn't miss any details in between, like it literally went from me thinking about designing something, finding something almost instantly and building on it. Like it wasn't, I didn't think about, oh, I'm going to maybe just do something easier or something. Like, no, it was straight to the underwear drawer, straight to this underwear, straight to Menagerie.
Yeah, but apparently not wearing the fucking expensive shit. You were like almost fetishizing in your drawer.
Yeah.
Were you an underwear person? Were you like a,
no.
Or maybe I should more accurately say, were you like a lingerie person?
No. I appreciated luxury.
Okay.
Like I didn't have much luxury. That's another reason why I sort of maybe saved that underwear, but like, working in fashion, like I got to touch a lot of things, but I couldn't necessarily buy them or have them. So like, I was more attracted to like luxury and glamorous sort of like things. And that ties into the lingerie also. But back then I was 20 something years old and I wasn't getting so like glam. I didn't even wear like makeup really at that time. Like I definitely wasn't the Roman that I am now back then.
Okay.
And I owe a lot of that to my brand. So like I'm thankful for it helping me grow like in my like sensuality, my sexuality and all that. Cause back then I was really sort of like prudish. Yeah.
Okay.
Oddly enough. And still sort of am today, but like, my brand has definitely helped me like tap into the world of not only luxury, but like luxury lingerie.
But you weren't necessarily wearing lingerie before, but like were you wearing mm-hmm. luxurious stuff?
I was borrowing luxurious things from, I have a best friend, and he was a model at the time. So like he would have just like all this amazing stuff. So I would borrow his things and I would just sort of like make my things. Like back then I had a website called Roman's Closet where I would like reconstruct vintage things or like things that I found down in like Santee Alley. So yeah, I just sort of like made my way, but my style wasn't as romantic as it is now.
But what does it do for you when you wear the luxurious item? Like, what is it that you're feeling?
Expensive. Like,
you feel like an expensive bitch.
Yeah, it changes everything. Like to know like that what you have on, for one, like the quality and the fabric and like all that, but also the price tag adds like to the moment. Like there's times where I like, just feel really, really good because I have on something really expensive. And it sounds like really weird, and I'm definitely a fashion boy, but like it really adds to your day. It's almost like wearing like a back brace or something that keeps you straight up. Like expensive things like makes me walk different. It makes me like move through the city differently, and especially like if I have on a heel or like something like that. Like it literally changes my walk.
Is that something you're able to tap into when you're not wearing it at this point? Can you carry swag over into?
Yeah, I have to now because like people sort of like expect this sort of like.
It's Roman.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't walk in with the shoulders back, they're like, what, are you having a okay day?
They expect this sort of like person all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that person. You see me right now. Of course, I have my satin like boxer shorts on, but I have on this black oversized hoodie. Mm-hmm. When I'm working, I'm more like dressed down, but I still now I think I do it so often that I carry like my legs definitely cross in front of each other no matter what I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned from like I call it the book that makes you be like a lady, but it's like The Art of Seduction.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's like a moment in there where like they're just explaining like how a woman could and should walk. And like when you cross your legs, like it adds to the shape of your body. It adds to like everything. So like those little things I picked up and like they stay no matter what I have on. But it all started from just sort of like draping myself in things that I felt good in and were most of the time expensive.
What was the first time like you wore what you would call like men's lingerie?
I think mine.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think mine. Like
Me too.
Perfect. I really grew with this brand, like, into myself. Like I said before, I sort of just, like, walked into rooms and sort of was, like, quiet. Like, I had loads of friends that were, like, celebrities or models. But I was just, like, there until I had, like, something to really, like, dive into, which was my brand. Like, I was just a fly on the wall at all these places. As soon as I started Menagerie, and then, of course, like, I started with underwear. So, like, I started to have to, like, wear just underwear. Or I started to wear underwear, period. Like, with a blazer, with this. And it just started to be my thing. And obviously, I made myself more custom things so that I can, like, be completely draped in lace before I started to build the brand. Yeah, it went from 0 to 100 sort of, like, real quick.
But yet you're this, like, more prudent kind of guy. So what do you mean by that?
So, I mean, to this day, like, I'm not such a sexual person.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I'm more like the moments leading up to that. And, like, and it just.
And you want to tag someone in and be like, I did all the buildup.
Honestly, one of my best friends, we just had, like, a moment, like, a week ago talking about this one time where, like, I was just, like, a part of this, like, about to be threesome. And I literally just, like, tapped out. And he's like, you literally left me there. I was like,
Were you participating in the beginning of this?
I was participating in the rubbing, touching, kissing, like all that stuff. And then, like, I sort of just was like, done.
Wait, like, why? What happened?
Nothing necessarily happened. It was just like, I don't want to say I got what I needed, but, like, it was to a point where I was just like, okay, like, am I going to do anything else? Probably not. They look like they're having a good time. I'm just going to, like, tap out. And that's
is that self-consciousness
did.
Or is that, like, you at the not time, needing I mean, or wanting?
At the time, it was probably a little bit of both. Even to now, like, people really, really expect me to be this, like, sex god. But I've had a lot of, like, first off, I never really necessarily came out because I never really necessarily understood, like, what I liked. And I lost my virginity a little bit later than, I guess, your average gay guy.
Okay.
Because I hear stories of, like, teenage years, and, like, I was like 21 maybe.
It's pretty normal standard, I think, across the orientation spectrum.
I feel like it was such a long time because I lived in New York all the way up until, like, my 21. And, like, looking back, I'm like, how did I, like, not have sex when I was in New York City? And then I get to LA, and then all of a sudden I want to be free and I want to do, like, all this stuff. And then I, like, have sex. And I was like, why did I do that? And then,
like, were you scared of sex?
I think I'm still, like, trying to figure out, like, what sex is for me.
Okay.
Like I have a very, like, masculine and feminine side of me.
Yeah.
I categorize myself as a top.
Okay.
Never bottomed before, but a lot of people expect me to be a bottom based off of how I dress or just, like, how I present myself or, like, how I dance. Like I'm expected to be a bottom. I want to say 90% of the people that meet me, like, expect me to be a bottom. So we get to that point where it's like, okay, we're both tops.
I hear this is a very frequent struggle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle. It's
like when two submissive people end up in a bedroom together, like, shit.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle because I bring very dominant energy in the bedroom. But it is a struggle because it's something that, like, I used to get, like, turned off when people would ask me, like, straight up, like, are you a top or a bottom? I'm like, is that all that matters? But now I'm like, I mean, we should probably, like, get that question out of the way.
It could save us some time.
Yeah. But I also, like, open myself up because I always say, like, I've had no ambition to bottom yet.
Sure.
I also, and this is for everyone to know, like, I've never been in a relationship at all. Like, no, like, long-term, short-term relationship. So I don't know what it feels to have sort of, like, this, like, connection that might sort of maybe let all my guards down, and maybe I will bottom, or maybe I will feel, like, the energy to do so in this certain situation. So that's why when, like, certain people ask me that I'm, like, trying to get to know, I'm like, I'm a top, but, like, who knows? Who
knows? I've only topped thus far. But
exactly.
We'll see what happens when I'm comfortable with another human being.
Yeah. If it's someone that I know, like, it's probably just going to be like a hookup or like a short term thing, I'm like, I'm a top, because we're not going to get to that level probably to even make me even think that I might think about wanting to bottom. But if it's someone that I'm like, huh, like, I know them, I like them, or like, I can see something bigger, it's harder for me to answer that question because I'm like, I don't know.
With you, I might.
Yeah.
Let's see and how then, this goes.
And then sometimes you say that to people and are just like, oh, okay, so you're a bottom. And I'm like, whatever. Whatever you say.
Wait, when you say you weren't quite sure what it is you liked, was it that you weren't sure that you liked men, or you just weren't sure what you wanted to pursue, you know, well, sex act wise?
I'm 100% sure I like men.
Okay.
I mean,
like back then, like when you said then, you were like not
was,
sure about
it. I was pretty sure that I liked men. Uh-huh. I just wasn't pretty, I wasn't like so keen on gay sex, like anal sex.
Right.
So, and even to this day, like I don't know exactly how I feel about anal, but like that's part of my life. Like,
not to be like a silly straight boy, but like I heard this term side. Is that what that is?
What is it?
Side?
Like
top,
mean?
Bottom, or side? Which
verse?
Not verse, like a good top or bottom. Side, I am told, is like you're interested in the sex except for the anal sex. But like masturbation, mutual masturbation, oral, all.
Maybe I'm a side. I've never heard that before at all.
I didn't realize I was going to teach you something new.
Yeah, but like that sort of aligns with sort of like where I am sexually now. Mm-hmm. Like if it gets to that point, it's usually like mutual masturbation, oral. Or like, that's it.
Or apparently assisting someone else's fuck that they're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's something that I'm great at. Like,
Roman Sipe, great fluffer.
A fluffer, for sure. I've been called that before, yeah.
But today you feel a little bit more certain about things?
No.
Something, no?
No, this I'm still figuring it out. Like, I still am hopeful for, like, a relationship that will help me, like, open up a little bit more sexually. Because to this point, like, I am not, I guess I want to say, like, I'm not necessarily the typical, like, gay guy that people expect.
Like what, slutty?
Slutty. And like, I have a lot of gay friends, and I have like a happy balance of like slutty friends and like not so slutty friends. But then like my not so slutty friends like can get slutty once in a while. Sure. And like, I identify with both, but it's like, for me, I get pretty slutty, I guess, nowadays, but it never is like full sex.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I always like try to like have some sort of like connection with the people that I actually have sex with versus the people that I like mess around with. And my life thus far has been a lot of just messing around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's been preventing the romance?
The non-relationship.
well, yeah, but like usually you're feeling some romantic vibes before anyone would want to escalate it up to that. Like what's...
I mean, I think it's...
Do you date? Do you go on like... go out to dinner?
No, I haven't ever been asked on a proper date by a person.
What?
The things that blow people's minds sort of like blow my mind also. I've only asked a handful of people out, and a lot of them have said like weirdly enough said the same answer, like, sure, like we can hang out or like we can like do this or do that. And I'm like, I asked you out on a date. Like, so these sort of things, like, I don't know, happen specifically to me when it comes to like dating. Uh-huh. But short story, I did go on a date in New York City recently.
Okay.
It was a very interesting situation.
Do tell.
Okay. And this, I guess this will help explain maybe a little bit more of what I've been trying to explain to you. But I met a guy on the train. Beautiful, beautiful man. I was watching him the whole train ride. It was right before our panel.
Oh.
Literally right before our
Monday
panel.
A Monday morning,
yes. Right before our panel. And I wasn't necessarily having the best morning. But I was like getting ready to come, and I was like on the train, and I was like had my headphones in. I was like watching this boy. He was just sort of like jamming to his music and like chilling. And I got up and I walked and stood next to him. I don't know why. Just to maybe just, I don't know, be closer. And I walked to the other side and
test the pheromones.
Yeah. So basically, I went to the other side and I saw that he had a, what's the dance school? Avenali? Some major New York dance school bag.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, you're a dancer. I literally just spoke to him. Oh, you're a dancer. He's like, yeah. I was like, what's your Instagram? Got his Instagram, left. Something about that interaction like changed my entire mood. So I go, I'm walking to
you connected
to the
with another
center.
Human fucking being. Yeah, that's what it,
yeah,
was.
And it was.
You
like,
didn't just stay insular on the train like we all do every goddamn day. It didn't even matter if you wanted to like go out with him. It was just like I connected with a human being in transit.
Exactly. And
our parents used to do that.
And another thing to add to that is I lost my AirPods in Puerto Rico the week before.
Okay.
So I've been on the train like listening and watching and talking to people, which is something that I rarely ever did before. So something about that situation.
The podcast of the A-Train.
Literally made my day. So I go out and I make a little Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, like I just met a stranger. And like it literally just like changed my entire mood. He writes me like, was that me? And I was like, yeah. Like, but I was like, damn. I was like, I should have deleted it. Like I didn't really expect him to see it. Mm-hmm. And then I had went back to Puerto Rico after the trade show, like I said, but we stuck in contact this whole time. But this like contact that we have, that we were having, like got sexual so quick. And like, he's a dancer. I love dancers. I've never dated dancers. I've never even had sex with a dancer before.
Okay.
But like, I was really trying to like get to know him over this time that we had before the time that we were going to meet up. And every conversation that we had, like ended up going towards sex. And I, straight away, like as long as I can, most of the time, and like sometimes I gave in a little, and we just like talked about.
You try to be like, let's push
it. I definitely like halted it,
sure,
long enough to like wait until we like met in person.
How do you do that, by the way, without killing a vibe of a conversation?
I killed the vibe a few times,
and that's okay.
A few times I killed the vibe. I just let things unanswered, or like
you like leave it on red. Is that
on
what it
red?
Is?
Like in having my lingerie line. Like one of the things that he would ask me was like, "Well, what underwear are you wearing today?" And I would like say what underwear I'm wearing, and that was it. Because I knew if I took it to the next thing, it would go to the next thing, and it would go to the next thing. And, yeah, I would just sort of like shut it down every time. And then like we started to not talk so much, but we talked about meeting and going on this date. Mm. But I sort of had an understanding that I didn't necessarily have to take this guy on a date. I could have just fucked him. Yeah. But I wanted to go on a date. I wanted to like meet someone. I wanted to like have a connection with someone that wasn't instantly like a sexual connection.
Sure.
I was like, oh, we're going to go on a date the Tuesday that I get back. The Tuesday that I got back was Valentine's Day. I said, no, we're not going on a date on Valentine's Day because I have yet to have had a Valentine's and celebrate Valentine's Day in that way. So we went on a date the next night.
Okay.
We met. We had a conversation. We went to the Soul House. We left Soul House because the drinks are fucking expensive. And we went to like this place called Tippy's, which was sort of like very chill and a few blocks away. So we're there, we're literally talking like in each other's like face, like having good conversation. And then we get to the point where it's like, okay, are you top or bottom? Both tops.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, like that's cool. Like, and we're still getting to know each other. And he's like rubbing on my leg and like just hand is getting closer and closer and closer to my private all the way to the point where
his private.
You start to understand, like, this is a very interesting, like,
no, I just meant that you, that you use the word private. That's very adorable.
So he, and then his hand was on it and just literally rubbing me. And like, and mind you, we're in public and like, it's a situation for me. I'm a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm also like, my body's reacting to it. So it is what it is. And we've been drinking, whatever. So at one point I put my leg up just to give us a little bit of space. And then like, it just started to get really heavy in this place. And I was like, this really isn't what I want from this. But I was like, realistically, like, are you going to get anything else out of this? Like, you're going to be buying more drinks. You're going to do this. You might as well just like go somewhere else. So I was like, the place was shutting down. They told us like last call, we got one more drink. We go to the bathroom.
Just one more hand job and then, you know, we'll get out.
we go to the bathroom and it instantly like turns into him giving me head.
Okay.
I was here for it. Like I said, my body's responding. Like it wasn't like I was like, no, stop. Like it was fine. But something that I'd never done before. In my 33 years of living, like I haven't done that in that way before. And like the security was outside and I was like, I'm not going to come. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, no. Like I'm too nervous. I'm too anxious. Like, let's get out of here. So we go to LeBain after that. Have you been to LeBain?
I don't frequent places I can't spell.
Well, LeBain is the place that you should definitely go.
It's usually because I can't afford them.
Well, you should definitely LeBain. When I'm back in the city, like we'll go there one night.
We'll bane it up.
Yeah, it's an experience for sure. So we go to this place, rubbing, touching. He's like asking me to go to the bathroom and like all this stuff. And I was just really like not trying to do that. Yeah. So this whole entire situation just sort of like made me realize, number one, I need to like understand like how to navigate these type of situations, because while I could have just had sex with him, I could have just like did whatever with him. Like I was really like not into it because it was so forward and so fast.
Well, and also public. It seemed like you didn't want to fuck in the bathroom, which I think you seemed to handle it well. You were like, I'm not going to come. Let's go to the next place. And then he's like, let's go to the bathroom. And you're like, I don't want to do that in the bathroom.
Right.
So I think it sounds like you did it the way anyone would recommend.
I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about the whole entire thing because what I really wanted was a date.
Sure.
What I really wanted was to connect with someone. What I really wanted was to talk about dance and to talk about, you know, incorporating menagerie into his world. And like maybe like I had this whole dream set up for this like moment. And it literally went straight to sex, which is one of my major like problems when it comes to like the community that I'm in, is like, is that all we think about all the time, every day, all day? No.
Maybe you do, but I don't.
Yeah. And that's probably a reason why I don't have so many like sexual connections, is because I either just avoid them or I just haven't had like the proper contact with the person to make me wanna sort of like get so deep there.
Well, it sounds like you want dates. You want,
yeah,
right? Like, you know,
I want
you
romance.
Know, you can get laid. You know, you can get laid. Yeah. This story you just told us reconfirmed. Like, yeah, I can go to a city and like talk to a pretty boy on the train and get laid.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like this guy probably thought a similar thing. Like, sure, you're like, let's go on a date, but he knows you don't live here. He's reasonably thinking this is like a little bit of dress up to a hookup, but when you're back home where you're going to be, or wherever you're going to be staying more long term, you'd like dinner, you'd like a lunch. Ooh, that's a good way also to mitigate this whole like, are we fucking thing? Make it an afternoon date, first date.
So right before I started listening to this gay podcast, I wish I could remember what it was, but it literally was like telling me how to do like the perfect first date. These are all little like notes to note that like I'm not so versed in this world.
You're not as sexual as your work.
Exactly. So I'm like listening to this podcast and they're like, don't go to a bar. I'm like, okay, we're going to a bar. Don't go on a date a late night date. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're already doing that. Go somewhere where you can like interact with each other. Like, don't go to the movies. Go to like a class or something like that. And I'm just like,
you're okay. Sorry. Thanks for letting us be here.
Oh, Tessie. Yeah, so
she's walking through like I'm mad there's a woman in a towel walking through. Come on now.
Does everything. Just wait until you get into her. She's an artist and just beautiful person all over.
But like they're giving you tips on how to get an actual date out
how
of a date
to have
of
a proper first date as a gay man.
But I think these are good first date tips, period.
If
you like, let's say, want a first date that you will not have sex during, or some sort of, you don't want anyone's junk out during, right? If you're like, maybe we have a heavy makeout at the end, but that's as far as I want the first date to go physically. These are all great tips. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the day, you can do bars, just bars are more difficult.
The alcohol.
Right. Having an activity. These are all things that help have a date instead of like interviewing each other to maybe have sex.
Yeah.
And also like, you know, if you ask someone out for coffee, they're not thinking like, oh, we're going to hook up.
Right. Exactly.
They're thinking we might hook up. But like, you know, it just, it gives a different tone if you ask someone out for coffee versus mm-hmm. like, let's meet up at 10 o'clock on Saturday night for drinks. It's not that you should expect to have sex mm-hmm. on a first date like that. It's just like, it is the environment where that normally happens.
Yeah.
So I think these were all like good tips.
And to close that story out, I did end up coming that night. Oh. We left Labane and we found like a little corner. And yeah, I
fit in. A corner?
A corner outside. It was public. And yeah, I ended up like letting him finish. And after that, I had no ambition to talk to him again.
Wait. Blew each other on a corner? Wait, what?
He blew me in a, like a, you know how now everything has outdoor seating? So it was like an outdoor seating. Like you snuck into
like somebody's like thing.
It was open. It was like on the street, but it was like open. Like if it was during a date, there would have been chairs.
It's not in use. Like it's,
No.
Right. And that's what all these fucking things are right now that are just chilling out. It's like you're begging people to have some like quickie sex in them. And I still haven't. Actually, I now need to put that on the list.
Yeah.
Before New York City's right now about to decide whether or not those stay or go. So I was like, I think I need to take advantage of it.
It was secure enough for me to get comfortable. And I just sort of like made that decision in that moment because I was just like, you know what? After this night, like, this isn't going to go anywhere. Right. And we're both tops.
He's a dancer in New York and you're a designer and fucking on the exactly. West Coast.
Exactly. So. So we ended up just like doing that right there. He texted me sort of like the next day and I text him back, but it just sort of like dwindled from there. But I still think about it because I'm like, damn, like, maybe I should have just been his friend.
I mean, you can still be his friend and you can even still be fun, sexy friends when you're in New York.
Yeah. But,
you know, when you're going to where you're staying, you clearly have the ability to ask somebody out on a date. You did it. You did it on the train, which like we all, a lot of us.
It was new for me. It was new for me for sure. And I'm happy that I did it. That's like one thing that I'm like happy that came out of this moment was because that's out of my character sort of.
Yeah.
But in me moving back to New York in a few months, like I plan on dating.
Yeah.
I plan on dating. I plan on like exploring my sexuality a lot more. And just sort of tapping into every aspect that I haven't yet. Like I'm intrigued by transmasculine men.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to let yourself be sluttier or do you want to really dedicate to dating to then explore?
Dating to then explore.
Because I don't know if you can do both. Because in every date where you're trying to make it a date, you'll like be like, well, I guess I'll just fuck. And then it will constantly prevent you from maybe going to a next level.
I think dating in an effort to explore more. And I sort of like I'm making it a point now. It's never been a point for me.
Mm-hmm.
More like I sort of like focus on work and I focus on now I'm like focused on family. I focus on friends. I had more like friends living with me than I've had like people that I liked. And like having a friend with me is pretty much like I'm dating them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they fill that void. So like I'm never like out here like looking for people. That's how it's been before. Now I'm like, okay, I have a 3 to 5 year plan of like how I want my sort of like relationship/life to be set up by the time I'm like 38, I guess. And it involves me being like connected to a person or not.
Yeah.
So now I have to like, I'm sort of just like, it's now one of my goals. It's never been a goal of mine before to actually be in a relationship. So that's probably why I haven't been in one.
And what are you looking for? What sort of qualities are you looking for in a romantic partner?
Overall, I mean, I think just kindness. I'm all over the place when it comes to like the men that I am attracted to physically.
Mm-hmm.
And also even when it comes to like age, when it comes to like masculine, feminine, like I tried the thing where it's like write down exactly what you want, like, mm-hmm. and try to like
build manifest. Your perfect partner. Exactly. Exercise.
It's so hard because like I can build this person, but it's like, any one of these things can fall off the list and we can add a different skin tone or we can add a different body type or we can add a different like salary and it just changes the experience. So it's like, okay, after this last date, I was like, okay, no more dates where I'm the one in control of paying for everything and doing everything. I'm like, mm-hmm. I now know that I sort of want to be like taken care of in that sense. But also, I'm gonna find myself finding someone who's like maybe a little younger than me or like this. And then I'm automatically gonna go to that role of being like, I'm gonna take care of this.
Like, but I think just like making out, like building out that like prototype. I mean, I don't think you should use that as like, this is it. And also like, here are all my filters, but rather like, let's at least try to get an idea, or let's like build a few prototypes. What are some ideas? Like,
that's what
what do I want to look for someone professionally? Like me, I know as someone who has so far not dated that much younger, like I think 4-ish years max is my younger dating wise. So like, I do want someone who knows what they're doing with their life, or at least knows what they want to do and is building towards it. So I like seeing drive. I don't know that I want to build a life with someone who's in a, I don't really know phase. Cause like, I'm not in that way at all. And that can like, for example, distract me. So professionally, I know that. I don't need them to make a certain type of money, but I want them to like, know what they're doing, or and I want them to be good at what they're doing. My last ex is like, what she does for work, she's like really fucking good at. And like that's the attractive part. It's not that like what they do. So for example, like, what do you want professionally in another guy? Like,
I'm on this hunt for stability.
Right.
So like, when it does come to like the person that I ultimately like see myself with and the type of people that I'm going to start tapping into, like, I want them to not necessarily be like me, not necessarily be a creative, not necessarily be like as, I don't want to say as unstable as I am, but like have some type of stability and security, like that could sort of like wrangle me in.
Sure.
Because,
it's nice when they have a schedule.
Yeah. I think that's like, I think that's what I need. Like, I think that's what I want. So like, when it comes to like a partner in the future, like that's one thing, like stability is key. And also just like drive in whatever field, because like my life, I need all the like pushing that I need every single day.
Yeah.
And like, I know there's just sort of like other fields, like whether it's like tech or finance or like health, like they love what they do and they like, they're driven because of that love for what they do. So it's ultimately like the same as mine, but they're like more secure in a sense. And like, I can be the free one, like that's designing lingerie and like making them go to the parties and like doing things like that. But like, they make me stay home tonight. Like, that's sort of what I'm driving towards when it comes to like that side of things. And also like, I want to learn from them. So like, professionally, it would be ideal if they were in a space that's like completely different than mine.
Yeah.
Going back to this date, like I was just really excited to talk about dancing with this dancer. We didn't talk about dancing at all. Like I tried a few times, but it was just like, It didn't go there. Like it didn't get as deep as I expected. But yeah.
I feel it. Are there any other qualities you would look for in somebody? We got drive, we got kindness.
Drive, kindness.
Some difference, some diversity in lifestyle.
In lifestyle. And I don't know.
Because I hear people say stuff like, I don't want someone who drinks. But like, why? Right? Like, and what they mean is like, well, I don't want someone who's like out partying all the time, right? But just because someone drinks doesn't mean it's like, so you're, the quality you're looking for is someone who's not partying all the time, who's someone who's not always hungover or whatever. That doesn't then mean you nix out drinkers or smokers. Like, you have people say, I don't want someone who smokes pot because like they don't have a lot of drive. That's not true of everyone who smokes pot. What you want is someone who has drive. The eliminating pot does not like accomplish what you are hoping to with that. Right. You know what I mean? So it's also like, you know, that's why I'm saying like none of these are necessarily filters, but just getting us an idea, you know, of that person. What about monogamy? Where does that stand with you?
I need to be in a monogamous relationship.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially like in the world that I'm in, that and we're in.
There are going to be a lot of hot models around you don't have to worry about.
But see, here's the thing. I'm so all over. I was literally explaining to my friend yesterday. I was like, maybe I need to be with an older guy that like I can learn from, I can grow with, like they can teach me, help me, and like, you know, be that support system that I feel like I've been lacking most of my life. But I love these like model boys. I love boys. And I'm like, well, maybe we can just have a boy like once in a while. And that's sort of like our thing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's not going to happen. It can't happen.
Can't like, have like a boyfriend who you have some occasional threesomes with?
I mean.
Sounds ideal.
It sounds ideal. And I mean, it was an idea. It was an idea.
So, something maybe to revisit once you get the first step once of being in a relationship.
Exactly.
Like, we'll start with that.
Exactly. And see how I feel. Because I personally think like. My grandma would say it all my life, like, you know, you're just being held for someone and something special. When that happens, I don't think I'm going to want anybody else in the mix. Mm. But also, I don't know. I guess it really depends who it is and like where we are and all that. It's a big question mark for me, all of it.
Do they need to wear underwear?
No, no, it's not.
I feel very self-conscious on that stage that day because like I'm up here where I haven't worn underwear regularly since 2012. And I was like, another reason why I was like, am I the right person up here? Because I only wear these to fuck parties.
And that's the thing. Like I always say menagerie or nothing.
That woman was talking about like firefighters like wearing shit under mm-hmm. the gear. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even know how to relate to that. Like that's someone who is feeling and experiencing mm-hmm. the lingerie in like a day-to-day life, whereas I want to wear it to feel sexy in a group environment yeah. where I'm gonna get compliments
to
like
show.
One story I didn't tell at the panel was I was at the swinger resort once and they had theme nights, and it's a very like heteronormative type of mm-hmm. clientele swingers tend to be, and they had theme nights each night to like help drive the sexiness when the sun went down. And one night it was lipstick and lingerie.
Mm.
Well, me and my date were not going to play. They like the guys were supposed to wear like I guess like nice suits
pajama
or
sets.
Wear like nightclub set. I was like, yeah. Fuck all of that. So like, you know, Kenzie wore what she wore, and then like I wore the lingerie trunks yes. that yeah got me, and like she put some lipstick on me and some eyeliner, and I had like a amazing. Fun slutty hat, and like all these hot wives were surrounded by dudes in really nice suits who were in better shape than me, and they were complimenting me because mm-hmm. I yeah. looked like what? It's lipstick and lingerie. I'm wearing lipstick and lingerie, and I look fucking great. And they were like, "Hey, you do want to fuck?"
Amazing, amazing, yeah.
But the story about the firefighters and police officers like wearing something underneath, I was like, that dude's journaling.
Yeah, yeah. I have those stories as well of like men that like keep it for themselves
yeah.
versus like sharing it. Like, and specifically men that wear uniforms, whether it's like doctor uniforms, firefighter, policemen, like. It's a thing where like it's a secret and it's something that I don't want to say they get off on it, but it makes them feel a certain way to know that like no one knows about what's going on down there.
It's fun to have a secret.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm exactly. someone who has very few sexual secrets. Like I do have a couple mm-hmm. and I'm holding on to them because it's like fun to have a secret when yeah. the rest of my sex life is on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of fun. It like makes the thing even hotter because I'm like, it's my little secret. You don't get to know about it. Unless
exactly.
I let you, you know.
So I believe that's how most of them feel when they're in lingerie, whether it's like my lingerie or it's women's lingerie. Because there's a separation between the people that want to wear like that get off from wearing the lace, mm-hmm. and then there's a separation of the people that get off from wearing women's underwear.
Yeah. That was something interesting to hear navigated on the panels. Like this isn't about. Serving cross-dressing clientele. Mm-hmm. This is about men who want to wear lingerie made for men.
Exactly.
Like that is a very big difference.
Exactly.
I've said it on the panel. I've said it probably the week after I got my first pair of menagerie mm-hmm. years ago. I've said it for years. I used to mock lingerie. I did the easy, like, what? It's getting in the way of the goal. Mm-hmm. This is clear for the women, blah, blah, blah. And then I put it on and I ran my hands down my thighs with this lace on it. And I was like, oh, this is different. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
This is hot. And I hope some dudes go, you know, experiment, give that a try, you know,
me too.
With menagerie.
Me too.
Roman, you know, if someone wants to go give it a try, if somebody wants to see what it feels like to wear something sexy, where can they go to find you, follow you, buy your work?
So... online, menagerieintimates.com, mm-hmm. menagerie, intimates. I'm also selling directly through all social media outlets, Instagram, which is Menagerie Intimates, also Pinterest, all that. If you are in New York City and you want to shop in person, we're in Journal, and we're also in Shag, a sexy boutique in Brooklyn.
I know Shag.
Yeah, they have Menagerie now.
Okay, Shag. I'm excited. Journal had a nice experience in there. Mm-hmm. Lovely, lovely changing room.
Yes.
I think if guys knew that's what the even changing room was, we would spend more time in
like
there.
Those type of, even those specific experiences that are, you know, normally set aside for women, like when guys experience them, they're like, wow, like this catered sort of like shopping experience specifically for underwear is very unique.
Journal is like one time limited Xbox in the changing room away from a line out the door of men willing right. to try on some sexy underwear, play a little Call of Duty, and see how it feels. You know,
test it out. Yeah,
your personal Instagram is it's.
So I have my personal Instagram is Roman Sipe, name spelled out RomanSipe. I also have a second brand Instagram, which is The Boy Wore Lace. And it's a mixture of sort of like editorial content that I produce. It's a mixture of customer photos that they submit to me. And it's a mixture of just like lingerie quotes and like things that inspire me. It's sort of like my designer page. So, it's a little bit more active than all of the other pages actually, because there's a lot of stuff that I work on outside, but it's all tied into Menagerie. So it's sort of like my backup. It started as my backup account, but now it's like, it's less stress for me to post that yeah. I can post whatever without any issues on this page. So like, it's a little bit more fun over there.
Okay. Well, everyone go check that stuff out. I got links to all of it in the show notes. And Roman, thanks again for inviting me to do that panel. And thanks for coming on the pod. And
thanks for having me.
I'm wishing like all the best of luck for you on your dating journey when you return are solidly here and going on daytime dates like a grown-ass man.
Like a grown-ass man. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what that looks like for me.
Me too. We'll have to ask you about it again later.
For sure.
But for now, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to everybody.
Everyone who's listening, it's been such a pleasure to be on the Man Whore podcast. I've listened to a few episodes and I love what goes on over here. I definitely was excited because this is my first podcast. Oh. Yeah. So like I was a little nervous, you know, see, I got my little wine. I was just like, oh my God. But yeah, it's been truly a pleasure to be here. And I'm thankful to have your support and to have had it for so long. And yeah, like I said, if anybody wants some men's lingerie, it's all here. And I'm excited to grow with you and all these people out here.
Oh, that might be like the top sign off I've had on the show. How beautiful. What a sweet, sweet way to send y'all off back into the rest of your day or onto your next podcast episode. What a nice boy. What a nice, sweet boy Roman is. Oh gosh, I didn't have the heart to tell him. I hope he's still not listening. I didn't have the heart to tell him that like I have lost all three pairs of the menagerie that he has sent me over the years. Like he sent me one during the pandemic, and I do not know how it happened, but somehow in the midst of my move back in 2021, I lost that pair too. And I was like, fuck, because this is like my sexiest piece of sexy anything that I own. And then you know what that guy did without me even asking? He had no idea. I hadn't told him this. Before I walked out the door, he had a nice bag of goodies for me. And then there was another pair of Menagerie Intimates. Another little lacy piece for me to rock at a Hacienda party. How nice of him. I also got a silk fitted hat and it says, fabric has no gender. That's fun. I've got links to all my things in the show notes. Every episode, every link is down there, including my OnlyFans link, onlyfans.com/callmebilly, where you might be able to see me in some menagerie and, you know, watch me get out of it. Hey. You also see a link to the tickets for the March 18th Naked Comedy Show at Hacienda. You don't want to miss this. We got two great lineups. But the announcement that is most important, that only those of you with high episode completion rates deserve, ManwhoreCon. Fuck it. Let's do it. I have no other details to share with you other than Man Whore Con 2023 is going to be August 3rd through August 6th here in New York fucking City. I do not have more to say about the what, the why, the with whom, and all of the wares, but for now I can tell you, start making your arrangements, start taking a look at flight prices, start arranging your time off at work. Because August 3rd through 6th, we're going to be having a grand old time. I'm going to, once again, lose my voice the night before. We have a live podcast that I have to struggle through to host. So more on Man Whore Con later, but for now, save those dates. And if you want to be a pro about it, you know, arrive a day early, arrange to leave a day later. That's more time to hang out with me and your fellow fan whores. So there you go. Now, as I said, I've got more of my conversation with Roman Sipe. Tomorrow, $5 and up fan whores are going to get a bonus episode all about where Roman thinks the future of men's lingerie is going. Shout out to Chuck G for a great question in our Ask the Guest channel in the Champagne Room. And if you want to gain access to the full thing, as well as nearly 300 bonus episodes, give it a free try at patreon.com/manwhorepodcast. Stay warm or stay dry or stay a little cooled off, depending where you are in the world. But always stay slutty. Where should a guy start with? Y'all made a good point at the panel about this.
It's sort of hard to say where a guy should start, but I think specifically with my brand, all the fits are something that, like, I have a fit that every guy's used to, whether you're a brief guy, whether you're a boxer guy, whether you're a trunk guy, like, I have your fit. So I would start there. Start with the same underwear that you wear now, but get the lace version,
mm-hmm.
or get the satin version, or maybe just try something completely different.
Like a jock strap,
and see where it takes you. Because, like, for me, jock straps are my favorite thing now. Like, I love them. I love them for the fashion. I love them for the comfort. Like, I understand them now. And, like, I would have never wore a jock strap before.
Like,
and
yeah, now I know. You didn't understand. It's like, I didn't get it. It's like someone who's just trying to listen to, like, I don't know, Little Feet. And they're like, you know, when I got to the fourth album, I really started to understand.
Well,